Well, as I begin my message, I just want to share that, a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, I had a bit of a emotionally discouraging day. Couldn't quite put my finger on it, but it was just one of those days. I'm sure we all have those days. And I had my mom call me the next day. Moms are awesome. And she said, Ryan. I said, yeah. She said, I had a dream about you yesterday. I said, oh, really? I said, okay, well, what was the dream about? She said, I dreamt that I kind of visualized your street in my mind. And somebody or something or group of people, whatever, were excavating the entire street. And absolutely everything was dug up. All the houses on the street were dug up, except yours. Yours was the only house that was not dug up, and it was built on a big, giant, beautiful rock. And all these people were coming to the rock, and they're trying to glean, take some resources from it. And I'm like, what? Were they trying to steal from me? And she's like, no, it wasn't like that. He says, you were good, you were happy, you were joyful. And people were actually looking and taking stuff from the rock because it had precious gems and jewels to provide for them. Clarification, I have some neighbors here. Some Tim and Tamara Shaw, some others that are here as well. And no reflection on how I feel about you guys or anyone else today, but it was just an image that the Lord had given to my mom, and my mom just wanted to share it with me to encourage me. And I didn't think too much. I thought that was pretty cool, but just went on with life. And last week I was praying, okay, Lord, what should we talk about today, this coming Sunday? Because I want to do something different. We've been in our series in Romans, and as I prayed about what to talk on, I wrote some ideas, and my mom called me again. She doesn't always call me this consistently, but she called me. And she says, hey, Ryan, something else happened to me this week. I said, what's that? She said, just today, I opened up my Bible just kind of randomly, and I came across this passage in Luke 6 where it talks about building your house on a solid rock. I said, oh, maybe I should preach on that. So I'm going to preach on that today. And this might be a message that's meaningful for me, but I figure, you know what, maybe the Lord's hand was in all this, and maybe there's someone here who needs to hear that you need to build your life on the rock and what that actually means. And so I've entitled my message today that the blessed life is the obedient life, and I'll explain what that means as we go. The passage is in Luke 6, 46 to 49. And before I go ahead and just jump into that passage, I just want to give you some context here. Within this passage, Jesus is teaching us about a whole bunch of different things. He's telling us how to live the blessed life. He then transitions to a few comments on loving our enemies. He then transitions to some comments about not judging others. He then transitions to some comments about being transformed from the inside out, from the heart. And then he taught about building your life on the solid foundation. And the solid foundation, the foundation being Christ and his teaching. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of person whose house is built on the rock, whom others can come and find precious resources which will help them for their life. And I want our church to be the kind of church that is built on a rock that people come and find precious gems and resources that will help them in their life. And I think Jesus today would say the same. Jesus would say, I want you to have your house built on a rock so that you may be blessed. And so this passage gives us some insight about, more insight about this whole concept about building your life on Jesus and on the rock. So let me just say a prayer, and we'll jump into this. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you love us more than we could ever understand or imagine, and that you want the best for us. You want us to live a blessed life, and this passage that we're going to read is you meant it to bless us. And we just pray, Lord, if there's something in our hearts or minds that need to change, we pray that you would be we would be receptive to you and your voice this morning, and we'd be open to what you have to say to us. Amen. So the passage is in Luke 6. We do have it projected in theory, and if not, we have Bibles in front of you. You're welcome to look at the hard copy as well, if you like. And I'm going to start at Luke 6, verse 46. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do what I say. That's a very interesting question. We'll talk about that later. In other words, he's saying, why do you call me Lord and you don't listen to me? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. And so, again, if we want to live a blessed life on a solid rock, it requires, in Jesus' words here, obedience to God. It means following what he says in his word. It involves doing the things that he wants us to do, but also avoiding the things that he doesn't want us to do. And I want to say first and foremost, so this is coming out of a place of love. You know, God, you need to know that God loves you more than you can ever understand or fathom. The Bible says that God knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows when you're going to sit and stand. He knows more than what you're about you than what your doctor knows about you. He knows more about you than what your mom or dad knows about you. He knows more about you than what your spouse knows about you. Why? Because he loves you so much. This teaching is coming out of a place of love. I have kids and I love my kids. And I have some rules that I have for them that they don't completely understand. And one of my rules, as an example, I'm actually somewhat very much OCD on this rule. Ever since we've been living in our house, the rule is the children do not touch the garage door opener for any reason ever. And the reason is I don't want anybody to die or get injured. Because sometimes children do not think through who's coming or running in or out of the garage. And if they press it when someone's running in, someone might get injured. And so I've even told my kids, listen, if mommy and daddy are on the other side of the country on vacation and your siblings are in sleeping in their beds, you're still not allowed to touch it. I don't want you to get into the habit of doing this. Like, ask the babysitter to do it or whatever. I'm starting to chill out a little bit because they're getting a bit older. But anyways, I have that rule because I love them and I want to protect them. And in the moment, years ago when I was first sharing this rule with them, they didn't quite grasp it. They didn't quite get the why behind. But Dad, we're responsible. I don't know. I have this rule. It's coming out of a place of love. That's what I'm getting at. And God has rules for us, and it comes out of a heart and a place of love. Now, if God loves us and he gives us these rules, and if we're supposed to have this relationship with God, this loving relationship needs to be reciprocal. Now, God wants us to love him back. And one of the ways that we kind of sort of prove our love to him, or one of the ways we kind of measure our love, is how we obey him. Obedience is directly related to your love for God, how much you respect him, where you value your relationship with him. In another passage, it's always helpful to just check in with other verses in the Bible to just kind of help get a better grasp, a better picture of what God's word has to say about certain matters. And Jesus said in another passage in the book of John, he said, if you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And so if you love God, basically, you're going to do what he says. You're going to want to do what he says. That's going to be your heart's desire. And so there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. You're actually deceiving yourself when you actually say with your mouth, yeah, God is cool. Jesus, he's a cool guy. But you don't actually do what he says. There's a disconnect there, and God knows the difference. A genuine believer from the heart is going to want to do what Jesus says. Let me give you an example just between two different types of people. There's one kind of person who's like, you know what? I think God is awesome. He is great. He is wonderful. And from the depths of my heart, I love him, and I want to follow him, and I want to obey him, and I'm going to do my best. But this kind of person, well, no one's perfect, and so this person is going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. But even when this person makes mistakes, they're gonna apologize. They're going to say, God, I'm so sorry. Would you help me sort out this situation in my life? And God's going to help that person and honor that person. There's someone else who will say, yeah, Jesus is cool, God is cool, and all that stuff, but you know what? I don't really like some of the rules that God has for me. And in fact, I'm gonna change some of the rules. And I'm going to drum to my own beat. For example, I know the Bible says you shouldn't steal, but I don't like that rule. I think I know better than God. In fact, for me, the command for me that I'm going to live by is it's actually okay to steal as long as you don't get caught, right? Or someone else might say, yeah, I know that God gave us some guidelines on our intimacy lives and our sexual lives, And one of those things that he told us was that we shouldn't be intimate with close relatives, but you know what? I'm going to bend those rules. I don't like those rules. And you know, as long as we're consenting adults, I'm in. And that I can go on and on and on and on and on. But this kind of person, they give lip service to God, but in the depths of their heart, they want nothing to do with what God says for them, and they make up their own rules. And God says there's a serious disconnect there. And on one day, we're going to stand before God. God is going to be able to discern whose heart is for him and whose heart is not for him. And Jesus gives us some pretty serious warnings. He says on Judgment Day, he's not going to accept a disobedient person to his kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 7, in a parallel passage, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, people who give me lip service. "But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And also in Luke 9:26, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." In other words, Jesus is saying here he's going to reject people who look religious on the outside. They give lip service to God on the outside, but they weren't transformed on the inside from the heart that wanted to love God and obey him and his word. And really, the other thing I want to mention here as well is that obedience leads to blessing. And just want to look at another quick verse. There's a passage in James where he compares looking at the law of the Lord as to looking in the mirror. If we look in the mirror, we notice something wrong in our face, we're going to fix it, right? But in the same way, if we look at the law and we see things in the Bible that are speaking to our lives, it does us well to consider how we can apply that to our lives and fix our lives, so to speak. James 1:25 says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." We'll be blessed in this present life with the Lord, with our future relationship with God, and blessed with others in this life. And so if we want to be like the house that's built on a rock, it's directly related to obedience to Jesus and his teaching. But let me come back to the interesting question that Jesus asked in that first verse. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" He's saying there's a problem there. There's a disconnect. And I want to ask that question. Why do some of us disobey? And we all have moments in our life where we do that. We're all in the same boat. The thing is, sometimes we're tempted to follow ourselves. Sometimes we think that we know better. Yeah, God gave us these rules and these laws, but you know what? I know better. Or maybe we think to ourselves, you know, I don't like what some parts of the Bible teaches. And maybe I don't understand what some of these things teaches. And we start to think, I'm just going to follow my own standards and my own rules here. You know, if I were to come back to my children are wonderful. But they're, you know, especially when the children were young, I had this rule that, you know, kids, you can't be walking around with knives, you know. Because, you know, especially young children, they could bump into something. Someone else can bump into them. They can fall. They can get injured. They can get hurt. You'll often find if you're at our house for a while and you hear kids slamming doors, we're going to yell up the stairs and say, "Hey, stop slamming doors." And the reason we're saying that is because we love them. And they might not understand the why behind it in the moment, but we're doing that because we love them. And I say that it's because sometimes we don't always understand the why behind some of the rules that God gives us. And I should clarify that it's actually okay to ask why. It's actually good to research and consider why God has these principles for us to live by. It's also okay for God not to give you a why in the moment that you ask him. There's been some things in Scripture I find out 10, 20 years later, it's like, oh yeah, now I understand why he said that. And the other thing too about kids, just observing my own family, they can be very fickle. I have one child in particular. We can be having a great evening, and then all of a sudden we say, "Hey, it's time for bedtime." This one kid starts to just freak out and say, "Oh, I'm starving, I'm starving, I'm going to die." And they start crying like the end of the world is near. And then we say, "Hey, guess what? We saved your supper that you didn't finish." And then he might come to the dining table, take a look at it, and say, "Oh, you know what? I'm good, actually. I'm good. I can go to bed now. I'll make it." I say that because children are fickle. And you know what? You and I, as adults, are absolutely the same as children. People are fickle. You are fickle. I'm fickle. We're constantly changing. We're constantly changing our minds and all sorts of things. And this is what I'm getting at here. If you are constantly changing, if you are constantly fickle, and if you want to build your life and your foundation on yourself, which is constantly shifting and changing your mind about all sorts of matters, you're building your foundation on a flimsy foundation. There's another group of people that people perhaps like to follow. Perhaps we realize that maybe we shouldn't be following ourselves, so we look to other people. Maybe we have some people in our lives who seem to have it all together. Maybe they're family, maybe they're friends, maybe they're a celebrity of some kind who appears to have it all together. But you know what? It doesn't matter how respectable or put together someone appears to be on the outside, we are all messed up. And even the most respectable, most famous people in the world are always shifting and changing over time. And if you're building your foundation on a exciting personality, you're actually building your foundation on shifting sand, and God says it's not going to work. Another perhaps category that we like to follow is culture. Maybe some of us, we really value our society and our culture. I grew up as a twin. I still am a twin. But culture's always changing their mind. I grew up as a twin, and when I grew up as a twin back in the day, the mindset in our culture and our world was, hey, twins should be separated in school. And so for the most part, I was separate from my brother because I guess the mindset was these twins have to learn independence. Well, culture changed, and Janae is smiling because she's a twin. And culture has changed, and now twins, I think, are put together in classrooms. They've changed their minds. Culture and opinions in the diet world has changed. I remember watching the news. They say, hey, salt is bad for you. Then they said a few months later, salt is good for you. Fat's bad for you. Fat is good for you. The keto diet is awesome. Some of you might be on it. I saw an article the other day that says the keto stuff is bad for you and you're actually never in ketosis anyways. Whatever. Culture's always going back and forth about all these things, but even more important matters, like deep, important philosophical matters and opinions are always changing in culture. The value of life is always changing, going back and forth. Where, you know, certain matters of morality and even how you view other races of people are always changing from one generation to another. And sometimes we're progressing in good ways, but sometimes we are regressing in negative ways. Culture has a tendency, especially in democracies, from going to one political extreme to another. You have the far left that just totally takes over, and then they drop the ball, and they go far right, and they drop the ball, and you're just going back and forth politically. Culture is always changing. And if you're building your foundation on something that's always changing, you're building your foundation on a flimsy foundation. In fact, absolutely everything in this life changes. And if you're building your foundation on something that's changing, it's going to eventually rot out the house. Nothing stays the same. You can't lay a foundation that is on something that's constantly shifting and changing. But let me remind you, I know someone who does not change. God doesn't change. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Think about that. He was the same yesterday, forever, today, and he will be the same forever. He's unchanging. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change, like shifting shadows. God does not change. He is dependable. He is a rock. You can build your life on him. And so for to come back to this question, why do we disobey? Why do we give God lip service and we disobey? Well, at the end of the day, we have to realize this is actually a heart problem. Because if God deserves to be number one in our lives, but the moment we put ourselves above God, we decide we're going to be ourselves and our own thoughts about the way we should live our life, or the moment we put exciting personalities above God, or when we put culture or philosophical philosophies or whatever they are, whatever the most popular philosophy is of the day, when we put those things above God, we're actually putting something else above God. And we're putting something else in God's rightful place. And when we do that, it's actually a form of idolatry. We're deciding to worship something else, whether we realize it or not, over and above God. And it requires a heart of repentance. But it all starts with faith in Jesus. It starts by saying, you know what? I believe there is a God, and I believe he deserves first place in my life. And I believe he loves me, and I believe he died for me, that he rose again. And I'm going to have the faith that he knows best, even in situations and circumstances where I don't have it all together. And I'm going to put my trust in him. So if we come back to that original passage, I just want to continue reading at verse 47. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. And so most of us will know that the foundation of any building we make, when we're building a house or something, it's crucial. I'm in a situation where I'm hanging out in my crawl space. It's not an exciting place to be because I don't have any foundation issues, but I got some insulation issues and moisture issues, of which I got to get at. And I've been learning through this process that, man, a house with a bad foundation is eventually going to rot the rest of the house out, and eventually it's going to turn the whole house into garbage. And we got to make sure we know that our foundation is strong, because a weak foundation will not stand through storms and emergency situations. And the reality is, we are all going to face storms in life. We are going to have to deal with the death of a loved one whom perhaps we weren't expecting. Even if we were expecting it, it's still hard. Perhaps there's unemployment. Perhaps we deal with storms around illnesses or depression. Perhaps, simply put, others are just not going to like you. Bad stuff happens. That's a storm. We might get caught up in all sorts of sin in our life that, man, we just fell into. We might deal with storms of marital breakdown or relationship issues or bankruptcy. The list could go on and on and on. We will all face storms in this life. Now, some of these storms will happen just because life happens. Others of these storms will occur because sometimes just people just don't like you. And sometimes some of these storms will be self-inflicted. Sometimes, believe it or not, we just make dumb decisions. I make dumb decisions all the time, believe it or not. And God, he speaks to all these issues in his word. If we listen to him, we'll be able to weather any storm that we go through. And I want to share with you a couple of examples that illustrate that, hey, following God's word and obeying him, first of all, will help us avoid harm. But on the other hand, it also brings us blessing. God didn't just give us guidelines so we could just avoid bad stuff, but he wants good stuff to happen to us as well. One example that comes to mind, and I don't want to share too many details, and actually I don't even know too many details, which is preferable anyways. I just recently heard of an affair that has happened within a local church in another community. And we just happen to know someone, and I don't know the details, and I don't want to know the details. But as I've heard about this, I have been grieving for the families. I've been praying for the families. And it's just a difficult thing when you hear stories of that, like that. Now, God gave us guidelines on these things. He told us to be faithful to your spouse, to be loyal to your spouse. And he even went a step further, and he told us not to even lust after someone in an inappropriate way. But the thing is, I guess these individuals, these parties, well, they didn't listen to the Lord in this case. And part of my heart is grieving with them, because I know that the rest of their story, although I don't know what it's exactly going to look like, it's going to include harm and hurt. And even right now, they're in a hurtful situation, and we've been praying for them. But I wonder what the rest of their story is going to look like. And stories like this, will the rest of their story look like, will lead to a divorce? Will there be unemployment? Is someone going to lose their job over this? And if they do, how is that going to affect their finances? And if that affects their family finances, how is that going to affect the family and the children? Are the children now going to be growing up in a feeling a little bit insecure? Are they now going to have trust issues with their parents? What about the reputation of the families in that community? What about the reputation of the church, depending on how they handle the situation? How many weeks, if not months, if not years of counseling will these couples have to go through? Will there be insecurity in the relationship? Will there be intimacy issues now because one spouse is wondering if their spouse wants to be with someone else? The list goes on and on and on. There is harm and there is hurt that might follow them in their story because they didn't listen to the Lord's word. And I want to contrast that with perhaps someone who decided to follow God's word in these matters. And that story might look like this. Once upon a time, there was an individual who decided to follow God's word, not look at anyone with lust, and be faithful to their spouse. The end. Notice in that story, there's no story of hurt and or STDs or broken relationships or hurt children and so on. And actually, the story would actually continue to say, they found a spouse that they could be faithful to and loyal to. They had a wonderful relationship. When they raised children in an environment, the children got to learn what it's like to truly love a spouse and grow up to marry someone else in a very healthy way. But before I continue, I just want to say this, okay? Because I know that this issue has probably touched a lot of people in this room. In one way or another. And I want to speak a word of hope to you. I don't just want to leave it there and say, hey, bad stuff happens, sorry for your loss or whatever. There's an incredible story in the Old Testament between a guy named David and a woman named Bathsheba. David was the king of Israel. He had many wives of his own. He saw a woman. She was married to someone else. He lusted after her. He had an affair with her. And then he went a step further, and to try to cover up his sin, he killed Bathsheba's husband. And so this adultery was followed by murder. It was a disastrous situation. And the Lord saw this. He called out David. David repented, but there is still some difficult circumstances and punishment that followed. The first child within their union died as a result. And it was just a disastrous situation that caused a lot of grief in the whole nation because of David's sin. But I want to speak a word of hope here, because in this crazy, depressing, horrible story, there is hope, because God eventually forgave them. And David and Bathsheba, they went on to have a son named Solomon who became the next king of Israel. And through that line, in this adulterous relationship, this relationship that started adultery and then had a son, Solomon, and through that line came the Savior of the world. My goodness. If the Savior of the world can come through a line of messed up people like David and Bathsheba, there is hope for absolutely every single person in this room. Every single one of us has messed up in some way. And if we cling to Jesus as our foundation, even if we are in storms that are self-inflicted, he can help us. He can fix us up. Jesus, he's an expert at home renovations. And I'm not talking about your physical home that you actually sleep in. I'm talking about your life. If you've got something going on in your life that needs fixing, he can fix that. He can fix foundational issues. And he's going to help. I have confidence that he will help these families that are struggling right now in this other church with this issue. That he will help this family, these families, he will help this church if they cling to him during the storm. The other example that comes to mind is I want to just share an illustration of what happens when we actually obey God's word, some of the blessings that can happen as a result. I should first admit that when I was a kid, one of the things I mentioned earlier on, I mentioned theft. And God's word says we shouldn't steal. And I've shared a couple of stories of me stealing as a kid, so I'm not going to share all the details, but I'm just going to remind you. When I was in kindergarten, I stole a pack of markers from my buddy. And I remember he was devastated about that, and I kept it to myself for the longest time. And then a few years later, I went to the convenience store with my mom, and I really wanted a pack of gum. She wouldn't buy it for me, so I swiped it. I stole it. And when she found out that same day, she took me back and she made me apologize to the cashier. I had tears streaming down my face. I was so embarrassed. But from that point on, I just developed a standard that, man, I wouldn't be a guy who steals. My mother was hugely influential in that. And so I've dropped the ball in that area, but by God's grace and with my mother's help, I got better in that area. But anyways, what I'm saying here is this has led to blessing in my life. And so we don't just steal because we don't want to go to jail. We don't steal because we love God, we want to honor him, and we want blessing in our life. Later on in life, when I was in high school, I was looking for a job, and one of the best jobs I've ever had in my life was working as a cashier in a convenience store. And I remember when I was initially talking to the manager of the store, she, for whatever reason, didn't seem to like hiring men or males. All her cashiers and all her staff were females. But I guess she decided to give me a shot because her son's name was Ryan, and I was friends with Ryan. So she gave me a shot. But I remember the first 2 weeks of me working for her, she always looked at me like she was cross-eyed and like looking at me with one eye, can I really trust you? Are you going to show up to work on time? Are you going to take something from me? And all our interactions, she was just highly strung out, you know? And so I realized that was there. And so one of my jobs as a cashier was to, okay, when you have a certain amount of cash to build up in the register, you have to kind of put it in a bag and label it and put it down the safe. So if a robber came in, they couldn't access the cash. The other responsibility was at the end of the night, you had to make sure your till balanced. Otherwise, they might be questioning you, right? And so this one particular night, I think I was off by like 73 cents or something. And I decided to take that money out of my pocket, put it in the bag, and write her a note and said, hey, the till was off by 73 cents. I'm paying this out of my own pocket. I'm putting this in the safe. Sorry about that. I don't know what I said exactly. Well, the next day, she returned that Ziploc bag to me and says, Ryan, you don't have to be doing this. These things happen. But her demeanor towards me changed dramatically. She went from a person that was strung out and looking at me cross-eyed to someone who looked like they were drinking their favorite drink on the beach, you know? Like, totally relaxed, totally trustworthy. And that principle of me trying to live a life of not trying to steal, not trying to cheat anybody, brought blessing in that relationship. I'll just give you another example. I love playing ball hockey, you know, two or three times a week. And I've mentioned that before. And a few months ago, there was a situation where there was two teams playing against each other. It was 4-4, I think, and we were playing up to 5. And a member on my team, I was sitting on the bench, had shot the ball. He scored, and everybody jumps off the bench. We're celebrating, except me. I didn't get up. Because at this location, this place, we have a rule that you don't do slap shots. And a slap shot is defined as anything above the knee when you wind up. And when it's around the knee, there's some arguments, there's some questions. But this guy, he had it at the waist. And nobody saw it except me. And so while everybody was celebrating, the other team was all mopey and depressed, I said, hey guys, no goal. I'm like, what? I was basically calling off the goal that my own team had scored. And so both teams were confused. This team was confused. Why would Ryan call a goal against his own team? And both teams were thinking the same thing. And so they were confused. They were surprised that I did that. We went back and played. And to be honest, I have no idea who won that game. My memory is gone from that. But guess what happened? Guess what happened when we had another controversial call the next week? Joe and Bob, those are made up names, were arguing. Yeah, it was a high stick. It wasn't a high stick. Yeah, you're a liar. You're a cheater. Hey, Ryan. You're not going to cheat. What was the call? Oh, from my angle, it was a high stick. Okay, it's a high stick, guys, you know, because, you know, I developed this reputation. If I'm going to call something against my team, that hopefully I'm most of the time not trying to cheat. I don't always get it right, but they're a fun group of guys to play with. But this is what I'm getting at. When we obey God's command, in particular this command, not to steal or not to be a cheater in life, you're not just doing it to avoid the bad stuff, to avoid the harm, but you're doing it to bring blessing to your life. When you develop a reputation that you're not going to steal, that you're not going to rip people off, that you're not going to cheat, people are going to trust you more. They're going to respect you more. You're going to get promoted at work. You're going to have people in your life who entrust you with their funds, with their stuff. Someone might even make you an executor of their will. They're going to trust you with their possessions, with their things, with their mail. This past summer, I showed up at the office, and there was a key. on my desk, and I was confused as to what this key was and why it was there. And someone told me, yeah, there's a family that went on vacation, and they wanted you to look after their house, but they're gone. And so I was thinking, I don't remember anybody asking me to look after their house. And but anyways, maybe they did, and I didn't catch it. But it was humorous because I don't remember anybody asking me, but it was really, it was an honor that someone would trust me enough that they would just throw their house key at me and take off on vacation and be done with it.
We're all doing that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I don't want to look after everybody's home. Anyways, that house is still standing, to my knowledge. Anyways, when you obey God's principles and you have a trustworthy reputation, it brings blessing and you have the opportunity to speak into people's life. Now, that's the other thing. People don't just trust you with their possessions, but they allow you to go deeper. And if they see you as a trustworthy person, you have the opportunity to speak into someone's life when they go through a difficult situation, which is actually the more beautiful thing. It just keeps on getting better and better when you obey God's word. And so what I'm trying to say is there are lots of laws, rules, guidelines, principles, whatever you want to call them, that God gives us in his word. And on so many levels, when you obey them, you not only avoid harm and hurt in your life, but you also receive blessing on so many levels in your life. God gave us these rules for our blessing because he loves us and he wants to live a blessed life. And so if Jesus was standing here today, he would say something like this. Listen, he would say, a life built on me and my teaching is unshakable. You're building your house on solid ground. You're building your house on a rock. And it's going to bring blessing to you. It's going to bring blessing with your relationship with God. It's going to bring blessing in your relationship with others. But he would also say this. He would say, a life not built on me and my teaching is building on a flimsy foundation. And I'm warning you, it's going to be destroyed. Don't build your house on a shaky foundation. And I'm saying that because I love you and I want the best for you. I want to close with this image. In the second last chapter of the Bible, there's this passage that's describing what heaven is going to look like. And it kind of comes back to the dream I told you about earlier on. It's describing a city of the Lord in heaven. It says this, Revelation 21. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure, as transparent as glass, as transparent glass. That is a totally decked out city that is beyond, I don't even know how you can value how amazing that city is. And I believe that's going to be an actual literal city in heaven. But I also believe it symbolizes something else. I think it's symbolic of the riches that we find in Jesus. When we put our faith in him, when we make him our foundation, you have rich jewels and resources in your life when Jesus is your foundation. Good things are found in the foundation of the Lord. And when you build your life on Jesus and his teaching, you become like that house in my mother's dream. A house that's built on a rock with precious gems and jewels that you can offer to the world because of his work in your life. And when our church builds our life on Jesus, our church can also become like that home in the dream, and we can be a blessing to our world. We can help others navigate the storms of life, again, whether they be sins of any kind or finances or addictions or relational issues, or the list goes on forever. We can be a blessing to our world. And I want to remind you again, the blessed life is the obedient life. It's in your best interest to follow and obey the Lord. And lastly, if this is all true, if obeying the Lord and honoring him and making your foundation is so crucial and important, then that means we need to familiarize ourselves with his word and what he says in his word. And the more you familiarize yourself with God's word, the more he's going to change your heart and change your mind on certain matters, and the more he's going to help you build that rock-solid foundation. And so you can cut the cake in a million different ways, but just as a practical suggestion, if you don't know where to start, man, maybe just commit to reading 15 minutes a day something in the Word of God. And that's gonna help you in huge ways to start building a foundation on the Lord as you get acquainted with his principles for your life. Let me pray and invite the worship team to come back up. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you warned us and you encouraged us to build a strong foundation on you and your teaching. And we pray, Lord, that, if we're confused about anything, or maybe we have a heart that's just resisting you in some way, and on the other hand, we know we want this, we pray, Lord, that you would help us with your Holy Spirit to be patient with us, and you would work with us where we may be struggling. I do pray, Lord, with anyone here going through a storm, there might actually be someone here going through a relational battle, or they just recently grieving the death of a loved one, or whatever. Lord, we pray that you would comfort each and every person. You would provide wisdom where people are going through a storm. And you would help us, each and every one of us, to cling to you and depend on you so that you can help us weather any storm, whatever it is we're going through. We thank you for your grace in our lives, and we thank you for your love. Amen.